Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Three Muses and a Universe. I'm Mary, and I'm here with Sheila and Tierney, and we are going to talk about the subject of speaking your truth. What is it? It's very bold to do, and do you even know your truth in any given situation? So, shall we just climb on in?
I think a good place to start would be just to ask the question, why do we not speak our truth? And what are we speaking then?
We're not speaking the truth.
Well, we're speaking somebody's truth.
I think that's it, because your truth then becomes your way of getting validation from other people.
And so maybe we do speak whatever gets us validation rather than what we really feel, so we totally bypass.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, here's my thing is that I feel like as soon as I speak my truth just seems to change.
Yeah, me
you know
too.
What I mean? It's just the simple act of speaking it, you know, or like if I were to say, you know, so and so, I don't like you, and that person said, that's fine. You don't have to like everybody. I would start liking that person. You know what I mean? So sometimes just speaking it.
Well, that's an excellent point. So by speaking it, that shows that we've metabolized it, so then we grow past it.
Yeah.
Yes, and also I'm hearing a couple of other things in what you say. And one is that maybe we don't really even know what our truth is. We live in such a world of delusions, built upon delusions upon delusions for the centuries and the millennia past, that I think we're one of the first generations to even attempt to discover what our real truth is. And the other thing that I'm hearing in your words is that truth is a moving target, and I really do believe that truth is, it's always evolving as we evolve. So it's never a stagnant point in time. I mean, it's, you know, you can have truth in the moment or truth circumstantially.
Yeah.
But, you know, what really is truth anyway?
That is a very good point. And maybe the whole idea of speaking your truth is just checking with yourself rather than your database of truths that are acceptable in that moment, turning your search engine to that. And I know that there are many places, as I've gone through my own personal evolution, where I found myself, I think I was like in my 20s, somebody had asked me something, and I was answering, and I realized, I don't know that I even believe that. I think I'm just saying that because I hear everybody else say it, and you can hear it all the time, even in the spiritual arena. People's responses to things, what they say, you can tell it's just something somebody else said. And it's not that you can't say something and have the same truth as someone else, but there's a feeling, a lack of depth when it's not the person's truth. It's a learned truth.
And that is interesting because in the spiritual realm, you expect people to be more genuine. And there's just the same amount of disingenuousness out there, you know what I mean, with the things people say. Because, like you said, it's automatic. I mean, if somebody asks you how you're doing, you're going to say fine, whether you're fine or not. It's just you know, particular thing is kind of an automatic societal thing.
Etiquette bypasses truth.
Exactly. And I think truth is also very complex. So I think that maybe it's something that can't even be spoken, because if I were to, I'm trying to think of something I can speak my truth about right now, but I can't think of anything right now. Coffee, let's talk about coffee. If I were to speak my truth about coffee, I would say that I enjoy it occasionally, but I don't like caffeine. But would that be totally my truth? Because, you know, I get caffeine through other realms.
Well, maybe what if we said instead of speaking our truth, we speak our view as we see it right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Maybe that's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
So then the word truth, as you were saying, Sheila, earlier, which is very profound, it's not a solid thing that's stagnant by any means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe what we mean when we say our truth is maybe like the truth of where we're coming from, our perspective point or something.
Mm-hmm. And I, from a conscious evolution perspective, it's clear that we're moving out of the age of conformity to a certain degree. You know, conforming in the past meant security, and it meant safety, and it meant that you were identified with your tribe and protected by your tribe. And with the global age moving along as it is, there's less and less need for conformity, or you could say more and more individualism is emerging. And so as we have less of a need to conform, especially on the global stage, you know, the more local you get, the more you're likely to conform.
Yeah.
But the more global that we get, or the more into the one mind,
yeah,
we can, you know, we can speak up, especially when our faces aren't being seen, you know, on the discussion forums, you know, on the internet and so on. People are speaking more and more of their truth
mm-hmm.
through those routes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that, because I think that when you're dealing with 50,000 people, your truth might be a singular voice, but when you're dealing with 8 billion, somebody out there is going to get that affirmation that we were talking about. And, you know, I think that one of the most germinal things, so I just want to go back with it and repeat it, that was said was what you said, Mary, about how it's almost like once you metabolize it by speaking it out loud, then it changes in that moment, you know? Because I think that we can think our truth a lot, and then when it comes out of our mouth, it really feels different.
It always felt like I had this me that was sitting on top of this physical me, and sometimes things had to come out here in order to go in there, sort of like those beach houses that have no interior staircase. You have to go outside to go in. But then I was doing research, or I was studying something, and a bit of information came through about that that says that we have islands in our head of thought. So I can have this belief that there are boogeymen out there left over from childhood that's just sitting there, and then this very conscious part, and it's through speaking and words that these two islands of thought are linked. So often when we do speak something, it joins. It's like the other part that didn't know that part,
yeah,
information hears it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Well,
so we really are assimilating.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to changing your mind as you're speaking, as you're processing, we could say that speaking is a form of processing.
Mm-hmm.
So then it is changing our mind. But also, the more of our truth that we speak, the more that we have to face changes in our consciousness.
Uh-huh.
Because there could be a need to let go of some things in order to fully settle and balance and assimilate with your truth.
Yeah.
A need to let go, or need to adapt or adopt, you know, mm-hmm. some other nuanced aspect of the topic that you're
That's dealing very with. True. And it's an exposure of sorts, because you open yourself up to criticism and rejection. And also I think our truth often gets confused with our need to be heard. And that's why it changes. It's like nobody's hearing that I don't like Cheerios. Nobody's hearing. Everybody's trying to make me eat Cheerios. So when I say I don't like Cheerios, we feel heard and complete. And that's really what we needed. It wasn't that was our truth. We just needed to be heard. And then once we were heard, our real truth comes out, but maybe I don't care if I eat Cheerios or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably a lot of the disorders that we deal with in an epidemic way, you know, within our species, has to do with that truth that's out there and the truth that's inside and you know, where do the two meet, or trying to constantly adapt your truth to everybody else's truth, which may not be, you know, the case. But that kind of friction and that kind of imbalance is bound to be, you know, at the root of many of our disorders.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and, you know, like what you were saying earlier about the, like, if I were to speak my truth about how I feel about being overweight, then almost then kind of, well, I would have to lose the weight. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't just sit here and be fat anymore because, you know what I mean? Because, so I think sometimes keeping your truth in is a convenient way to keep from changing. You know, if you were to speak your truth about how you really feel about your husband or how you really feel about your friendship
with
so-and-so.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, then you have to face it.
Then you have to face it.
It
opens up a whole can of worms.
Right. So that what you're saying is that we're not only lying to others, or if, I don't know if lying in a certain way, that's the right word, or we... You know, but we lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
And the world supports us lying to ourselves. Because so envision what a world of everybody speaking their absolute truth would be like. What do you see?
Okay,
Matt.
Well, let's say, you know what, this is a very interesting subject. This leads to the idea of needing other people to validate our truth or convert other people to our truth. I think if everybody were speaking their truth on that level, there would be a lot of conflict. So as we become more respectful of our own truth, we will then be more respectful of other people's truth. And maybe everybody seems to, like what you were saying, Tierney, about suppressing their truth because you don't want to change. I think it's a very hard thing to defend, and you, Sheila, have been talking about things on the Internet. And I wrote a small article that I don't even remember exactly what I said, but something to the effect of, are these really opinions that people believe in, or is this just a way for people to channel their anger? Because a lot of people that don't have a faith put to their words, it's very attacking sometimes and critical. And I remember seeing a study one time that if you have eye contact, there's a definite bonding of things. But, like, that's why people in cars, you know, jackass or whatever they're saying to people. But then if they were to bump into them on the street, they go, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Or if they make eye contact, they immediately stop and they become human.
And from the mannerism perspective, or those people who can detect liars and so on, will say that when somebody's lying, they will avert their eyes. They will not make. But then you have those professional liars, and those serial type people who have learned to be able to make eye contact through their lives. But if it's not a conscious effort, our natural tendency is to avert our eyes because maybe the eyes do speak the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things when you were saying about the anger, when people go online with their anger, that is them speaking their truth.
Okay.
It's them speaking their angry truth. I know that I have, as I've grown older and wiser and significantly wiser.
And more truthful.
I know that I've taken to like making comments online, whether it's about political stuff or, you know, all this terrorism stuff that's been going on, whatever. I've been putting my opinion places, and then I've been clicking that thing where it, like, unfollows Fred, so that I don't have to see everybody else's opinions and don't have to get caught up into an argument. It's like I've said what I need to say.
Oh, very good.
And I walk away. But part of that, though, also is, like, I have to be honest with myself, is there's part of it is also maybe also wanting to try to be controversial and not walk away and let all the chaos happen in my way. So I'm not really sure whether I'm doing that to be mature or whether that's part of an ego-based
control
thing.
Yeah, I love you speaking your truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, as you were saying that, it just made me wonder, maybe it's not about that we get more crotchety as we get older. It's harder to hold back the truth because it's just that's the way I feel. And, again, it's not like this global truth that my truth is right. It's just that's the way I feel about that issue.
Yeah.
And nobody's truth is ever right is really the point.
Mm-hmm.
My mom always said that when people get much, much older, they just become more of who they really are. In other words, the older people will always speak their truth because they just have they have nothing to lose, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, they're not trying to be accepted. You know, they're just speaking it like it is.
Yeah. But you know, and also, as I sort of, you know, quote, unquote, try to evolve and everything, sometimes my truth is you're an asshole, and it doesn't pay for me to make that point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there are times that
consequences are very real.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not my place to judge somebody, or it's not my place to call somebody a name or something like that, or incite that kind of aggression based on who I want to be. So sometimes I'll walk away, you know, from the assholes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that just shows, is there a disconnection from speaking your truth and having other people hear it? Like, what is the need there? What is, because with more people speaking your truth, which they are, and you're right, all these forums, and there are a lot of things, and just on Facebook, if you look 10 years ago, everybody didn't have their own private website where they were in real time talking and showing pictures of things. I think in a way, it's. I miss the days where you just gently get to know people. But on another hand, it's kind of neat to just know everybody, you know, and know what's going on.
Yeah.
But are there no listeners out there anymore? It's like everybody is a speaker, and there aren't listeners. And do we need listeners?
No. Well, we can listen selectively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can decide who we want to listen to. And, you know, you can listen to Tierney and then watch her disappear.
Exactly. My truth is I don't want to hear your opinion. I just want to take my own and walk away. That's my truth.
I wonder why I'm going to adopt that truth.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's also sort of another thing too, in that, you know, in my blog posts that I make and everything, I feel like there's in each one there's a little bit of my truth that I state in order for others to feel more comfortable with that being their own truth too. You know what I'm saying? You know, last night I was talking about how I was a troublemaker in school and all of that, and that all came from not getting the attention that I wanted as a child. Not that I was anybody kept any attention from me, but that there's just the supply and the demand did not meet. You know, and maybe I needed too much attention. Maybe my parents didn't give enough. I don't know. I don't care. You know, the fact was is I didn't get the kind of attention I needed, and that caused me to act out in school and get into all sorts of trouble. And, you know, I think that, like, I don't even know how many people sort of excavate that far, you know, and look back at what their issues were when they were a child and say, hey, where did this come from? And the whole point of that post was, how do we get to be who we are, and how do we get to become somebody that we don't want to be sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
well, you know, that's a very good point. If we are speaking our truth, we have to face the truth of who we are.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
a scary thing sometimes,
yeah.
particularly when we live in a world based on the construct of guilt and shame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, like you were saying, you'll be having a conversation and you'll hear a voice in your head that's basically telling you that you're a hypocrite because you're not really, you know, and that happens to me all the time, especially when I'm writing. And so then I'll like rewrite it, I'll reword it in a way so that it could be
but you know,
true.
I think this is what, oh, we've got a little visitor.
Pink bug.
Pink bug. I think this is what I call when I get writer's block. It's not really a writer's block. I just have, the older I get and being a Libra, I see lots of sides to things. So
mm-hmm.
I'll start taking a perspective on a certain topic, and then I go, well, I believe this too, and I believe this too. How do you write that
yeah.
down when you believe everything? And I mm-hmm. think ultimately the more belief systems you can hold within you, the bigger you become.
Yeah.
And so you get to a place spiritually where you don't really have a stance anymore,
right.
yet you have all of them.
Yeah.
And so writing almost feels like you're lying. You know, not lying, but you're being...
Yeah, because you're
completely
one out of
yeah.
everything.
Yeah,
everything.
Because it's
well,
like, this
yeah.
really isn't my
yeah.
whole truth,
yeah.
but I can't write everything, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's very...
But it's valuable
yeah.
to write anything, because then it's going to speak to certain
that's a
percentage
point.
Of
that's
you know people. But I do think that there's some truth in all things, because anything that we're thinking of is going to be of the natural world,
mm-hmm.
or you could say supernatural. I mean, but I consider you know the world of consciousness and collective consciousness to be what I would call of the natural world. In other words, it's all here. It's what we have to work with, to deal with, and so that you know any perspective is part of the whole. It's part of the whole picture.
That's a good point. And so maybe not feeling like our truth has to encompass the whole picture is an extremely freeing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, because we all are unique perspectives of the whole, and we can't be all of them. We can and we are, but that's the reason we came here, is just to be one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I do think, and I know I spoke to this before on our previous shows, I just feel that, you know, our DNA and our tendency to see things a certain way is distributed. I mean, because the universe is always seeking balance, homeostasis, so that it's distributed in such a way that all of the billions together are always that moving target to seek a balance. So anything that we contribute is taken in and is ultimately balanced. In other words, we're all doing this together. You know, whatever our perspective is, it's sort of blending into the whole ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So we're never
yeah.
alone, you know, we're never alone in our perspective. It's affecting the wholeness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think where we would run into stagnation is if we, which we see very much in dogmatic and extremists, that this is the only truth. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's you know,
yeah.
that's the only time it really creates any problem.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, all the problems in the world could probably be traced
yeah.
back to somebody not seeing a bigger truth
yeah.
that encompasses more than their own view.
And I've written about that in particular before, about how, you know, if there's 7.3 billion people, there's probably 6.8 billion views on what God is, because very few people have exactly the same view
mm-hmm.
on what God is, you know. And it's the whole thing. I mean, we're given unique eyes to see the world through for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what that reason is, but you know, if some higher power up there wanted us to see everything the same way, then I think that they would have either made us that way, or there would be something that would be steering us in that direction.
You know, life, the essence of life is to always be moving. Stagnation creates death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, death is the ultimate state of stagnation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so every perspective that we speak forth is always on the leading edge
mm-hmm.
of our evolving forward.
Well, Neville says something to the effect of fortune favors the bold and doubt creates chaos. You know, and I think that's true. If you think about going
mm-hmm.
forward like an airplane, if it goes real slow and hesitates and pauses, it's going to fall from the air. So we have
mm-hmm.
to come up with something. And if you look at the traits of highly decisive people, they don't ruminate. They just go make a decision and create a world around that decision
yeah.
instead of not making a decision and waiting for the world to create an option for them.
Yeah. Because you can always make another decision.
Yep. There's always another decision.
And I think also successful people in that realm, they're not afraid to fail because they know they can always make another decision.
But I, so I'm feeling into that, and it feels like then that the energetics around that is that if you to achieve some sort of very specific outcome, you can narrow your perspective and you know your see a very narrow truth in order to achieve that. But also one of the tenets of success is adaptability,
mm-hmm.
being able to adapt to whatever comes your way.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're on this kind of really specific track, you have to adapt to the circumstances along the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
And but that may be a little bit of a different energetic than just seeking a broader perspective
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. in the first place.
Yep.
Because that, you know, in the ancient times, there were, you know, serious consequences for, you know, not conforming and for speaking your truth, which was always, you know, death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're still retaining some of that fear, and that's why it takes courage
absolutely.
To speak up.
You are bringing such a good point, because we have evolved with putting all kinds of locks and chains over the door of our inner world
yes.
for religious reasons and political
yeah.
reasons, and it is a scary proposition because you can be left hanging out there
yeah.
all by yourself.
Well, and you know, just this morning, I got an email from a friend. I won't say who it is or
Tom
anything
Smith.
Like that. Tom, from Tom Smith. And
Nicholson.
And this person said that, you know, they've been talking for a while about difficulty at their work and everything. And they said, you know what I'm realizing is that go for a couple of days and really believe that I'm okay with the job that I'm doing and that I'll make it until retirement time, but then I just come back to hating it again,
mm-hmm.
and I come back to knowing that this isn't right for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, hey, you know what? This is really good because this means now that you're probably going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because prior to that, person was fooling themselves that they could make themselves like this job long enough to get, you know, to get another couple of years to retirement. And,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, so he needs to speak his truth.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Well, I think this was a fascinating conversation. We might even have to do this again. And everybody, I'm going to remind you, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and search the Three Muses, and you can listen to all of our archives. Because I believe we have a number of
healthy archives
now. Yeah, that's for you now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and we will be getting this up on podcasting, too. So, anyway, it was wonderful. Thank you, Sheila and Tierney.
Yeah, we're going to have an anniversary party.
Yay!
After this, I think.
Come join us. We'll take the recorder with us sometime and have a party.